Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 28th in the year of our Lord 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great, peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Had a couple of days off because of Christmas, but on Thursday, Christmas Eve day, we were live. Richard Mack was with me, CSPOA.org, and we talked about fantastic news. Praise God, President Trump pardoned Steve Stockman. Turns out that he didn't pardon him. Got an update from Steve and Patty, and it turns out the President Trump just gave him time served, but he's still under probation. They're fearful that he could get thrown back in prison. Our prayers are with the Steve Stockman family, and President Trump, get the pardon complete, sir. Praying you can do something right before you leave office, buddy. The Cactus Cuties sing Amazing Grace. Stories of love, favorite memories, traditions, and forgiveness all prompt the gratitude that we should feel this blessed season called Christmas. We talked a lot about that. Brigham Young University study, kindness to neighbors helps fight loneliness. They say researchers found that people who know more than six neighbors have a whole lot less stress in their lives, lower levels of anxiety, lower levels of depression, and a whole lot more comfortable people. They also have less financial stress, they say. Very interesting. Indeed. Utah, by the way, ranked most charitable state in the union, new study finds. We also talked about that Utah appears to be the fastest growing state over the past decade. That was hour one, Liberty Roundtable Live, Christmas Eve day, if you will. Hour two, we had a second interesting guest on by the name of Eddie Miller. And Eddie Miller is an interesting guy. He was born and raised very poor in Tennessee, white in black neighborhoods. Had to go home from school every day taking a different route so he wouldn't get beat up every day. Anyway, Eddie becomes a Christian, tells of past Christmases and the difference and how he became a Christian. He's been married to his wife for like 60 years, 50 years, something like that, 53 years, whatever. Anyway, significant. Very interesting story, to say the least. We also talked about, I was a gang member, quote, hear my story. Shootings, violence, revenge. Ex-gang member Jesse Holgan, and Jesse has highlighted PragerU.com. Very, very interesting video about he was saved by the Lord and became a Christian as well. Stressed out, ladies and gentlemen, they say, here's 10 ways that you can help your mental well-being. And they go through all these 10 things and nothing had to do with God or prayer at all. What a sad tale to tell for Christmas, huh? Chuck Baldwin says the birth of Christ and the birth of America are linked. Amen to that. He's right as rain on that one. That's for sure. We also played the Glenn Rossin story. Does God care about human freedom? Very, very, in my opinion, good story there. So the Glenn Rossin story is a fascinating story about George Washington, about crossing the Delaware, and about how, you know what? George Washington was a singularly great person. He's certainly not anybody we would worship because he's just a man, but boy, was he a good man, a hardworking man, a man who got on his knees and got received a direction and counsel from God. and then got up, or stood up, I should say, and got to work. That's for sure. Anyway, there you have that. Merry Christmas to all of you from us, the Liberty Roundtable Live team. Without further ado, News the Networks Reviews to You starts now. Scott Bradley with me. The good doctor's in the house to preserve the nation, his goal, and collegiate series. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Welcome back, sir, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, we ought to spend a lot more time focused on the Savior year-round. I mean, this idea that, you know, people can drop in for a few minutes, if you will, around Christmas time and then forget about God, I think that's kind of a backward approach to things. But, you know, hopefully the focus will kind of linger longer, if you will, as we go forward, and America can kind of refocus itself. I must admit that the news lead up to this segment was on, as you kind of plugged me into the system. And it was the first time in probably a week or so I'd heard any kind of blather from talking heads that do the news. And it was rather disheartening to me. I mean, it was kind of a shocking thing that the same old drivel, the you got to be scared, we're in dire, deep trouble kind of stuff that was being promoted, and you know, all of the panic-demic stuff and everything, it was like, holy cow, I kind of put it on ice during the past week, you know, doing this focus on the Savior's birth and everything, and it really was kind of a shocking, you know how the buzzer goes off when you're alarmed, you know, that was kind of what it was like.
Yeah,
sadly,
that's some of the most conservative news, most Christian news we can find in the country as well.
Holy cow. Well, I'll tell you that a lot of these prima donnas that are, you know, that read the news, that read the script that are given to them, and they think for some reason they've got a gift for greater light and knowledge than all the rest of us, this elitist perspective. Americans that get fed this constantly, and I have to think of my father. He's in his 90s, well into his 90s, and the only thing he gets is the network news in terms of the perspective, and he's living in fear. I mean, the COVID cowards are being built constantly by our media, and oh, we must fear, we must doubt, we must have hopelessness, and there must be despair, and oh my goodness, oh, ain't it awful, you know, and we, you know, we really have built a terrorized people, and we're isolating people. I mean, that's what they do in prison. They put you in solitary confinement to punish you. And I truly know people that their parents isolate them if they think they've somehow been exposed to something at school, and they keep them in their bedroom and drop their food off in front of the door and knock and walk away and let them pick their food up. It's like living in a prison. And we've done this to ourselves. It's just astonishing to me how America has changed in the last 10 months. And by the way, that 2 weeks to flatten the curve is something like 39 weeks now, and we keep getting lied at more. And Biden said the other day, yeah, don't get me started. Biden said the other day, oh, no, our darkest days are ahead of us in regards
to
this.
Then Bill Gates doubled down and said that things won't get better until 2022. And now Fauci's saying, hey, you probably won't even get the vaccines until summer. And we probably won't be able to be back to normal till fall. And we'll only be back to normal to some degree in fall as long as you wear a mask and as long as you social distance. And that'll only happen if everybody complies and takes the untested vaccination in the first place. And I mean, you know, that's where Fauci and Bill Gates are going. Those are the people surrounding whichever president comes to power, right?
Well, here's the deal, Sam. I wish your listeners are probably much more aware of this than the average bear is, but think about this. When was the last time your government or officials in preeminence and power did not lie to you? Now, I could give you probably 100 examples of things that were promoted as the gospel truth, and in essence, what has happened is that you know, there's an old saying, and I'll paraphrase it: lies, lies, and more darn lies. Okay, And I just, I mean, we could go, I mean, if I wanted, I'd start at the Civil War and I'd roll forward. Almost every official stance that has been taken that has been a precipitous departure from the most principled position that the American Founding Fathers put together and stood for and promoted and not only endorsed, but they ratified, has been a lie. I mean, we, in recent years, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, oh yeah, we go to war over that, we're still there, holy cow. The idea we got to blast Osama bin Laden out of Tora Bora. I mean, a team of a dozen special operators at 300 yards could have taken him out. I mean, it's if the things that we have done have been truth, they could have been solved a lot more different in a lot different situation. The trade towers, you know, the 9/11 2001. I mean, the 600-pound gorilla in the room is the 47-story Building 7 that fell down because it had an office fire.
Well, the problem is lies, and more lies, and every lie seems to steal more of our liberty under the idea that we're going to be safe, secure, we're going to be taken care of from womb to tomb, that it's all going to be all right as long as you jettison the principles that made men free. And that's the biggest lie we've got to jettison and take on. I got all ready for a radio broadcast to praise the president last night. Woke up, had to scrap it. Details coming up.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, I mentioned I prepared for a show and had to scrap it. President Donald Trump was about to get praise for rejecting the massive spending bill. He was right when he said there's way too much pork in that thing. And I can't sign it. Go back. Now, he did say, hey, we're going to have to, what's the words I'm looking for? We're going to have to reduce all the pork in it, first of all. And then secondly, more money for the American people. Now, not exactly for more money for the American people, but it's very hard when government literally shuts down your ability to make a living and then, somehow expects you to survive. There's a big question mark there. But nevertheless, turns out that President Trump now signed the massive funding bill. They say averts shutdown. course, Democrats are promising more aides to come once Joe Biden takes office, but the Republicans, they say, have kind of a wait-and-see attitude on this thing. Now, the bill was 5,000-plus pages. All right, 5,593 is what we're told. 5,593 pages. Now, the Congress, that's the House and the Senate, literally only got a few hours from when the bill came out to when they had to vote. President Trump got, what, several days? But I submit to you, even in the several days President Trump got, you could not have read that many pages. It's the equivalent of reading a 600-plus page book every single day. That's if he got 10 days. He didn't get 10 days. At best, he got, you know, 5 or 6 over Christmas. Whether he read on Christmas Day, whether he read on the Sabbath, I don't know. But I submit to you, not a single person has read this bill who has signed it, including the President of the United States. And you know what? I'm rarely, well, let's say this. I'm never a shock jock. But I am rarely the extreme in calling people out. Okay, I'm very careful with my words. And the reason that I am is because it's easy to say things that, oh, you don't really mean, you regret, that kind of build a bridge too far. If you're not very, very cognizant all the time, it's easy to kind of go off and say things that you regret or say things that just become salacious by nature. However, I mean my words these times, or this time. I submit to you that everyone that signed this bill, including the President of the United States, is a flat-out criminal. And they have no business, they have no authority signing a bill into law that they have not read. Now, I know they do that all the time. I get it. But this is a national security crisis. We run around and talk about interference by China in elections or the military or espionage or spies or this or that. Why do you need a spy when you can simply write something into legislation that no one will read but they will sign off on? This is a national security crisis. These are criminals who signed this. I know they mean well. I know they want to avert a shutdown, but they always bring it to the brink at Christmas to where you have no choice. They do it every time. Okay, and these people are criminals. Whoever signed this is a criminal and should be arrested immediately. Now, you can say that's way too harsh language, Sam, and I would say to you, how do you know that we don't have spies or criminals or Chinese or Russians or foreign interference or who? How do we know we don't have that? If we have that in votes, how do we know on the internet and everywhere else, how do we know that's not in our writing of bills? Okay, we know that this Swalwell guy just got, punked by a Chinese female or whatever else. Okay, I don't know. All I'm telling you is, to me, to sign something like this on my behalf after we've elected you and you've sworn an oath to the supreme law of the land, and then you sign a bill and you have no idea whether it squares with the supreme law or not, I submit to you as criminal. Dr. Bradley, have I spoken out too boldly this time?
Well, I don't know. I think you've softened it pretty easily, and I mean, quite a bit. I mean, honestly and truthfully, the president takes a specific oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And then if you read, you know, Article 2 of the Constitution, it says specifically that he shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Well, the supreme law of the land that Trump's all, Trump, that's maybe a bad term, but that's, let's just use it how people normally do in cards. The supreme law of the land trumps all other legislative inaction. I mean, it's preeminent. And here we have a signing. People say, oh, it's the law of the land now. Well, now, when this bill first came out, President Trump made a masterful, very brief review of what was in the bill. He knew enough of what was in there to say, holy cow, this is bad. I'm not going to sign it. We're not going to do this thing. And here he up and signs it. Now the problem is that they sneak it through, as you point out, this Christmas time kind of thing, you know, Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. That's how we got the Federal Reserve. Stuff gets run through at cyclonic force. I mean, think of a cyclone or a tornado or whatever, you know, it drives, you know, tubifores through, you know, concrete buildings, stuff like that. But this, the wind force of this thing has just, it's blowing down America, and we are, it is criminal. It is impeachable, in my opinion. Now, of course, every single individual that voted for this should be removed from office. But we had only a handful that voted against it. And as I've gone through and tried to find some of the things that were in it, since he signed it again, they've been completely overlooked by the lame brain media. They're completely off. There's nobody that's even mentioned it. All of the strange foreign payments that are going out American taxpayer dollars. We've spent something like $3.5 trillion to $4 trillion. I don't know the number exactly. I ought to look it up and check it out. But we're $3 or $4 trillion over budget this year. And it's like,
right, so they spent over $40 million for the John F. Kennedy Center for the Recording Arts, or Performing Arts, I guess it is. They call it the Washington Cultural Jewel. All right, many of whose trustees are appointed by the president, okay? The money includes $26 million for operations and maintenance and security, plus $14 million for, quote, improvements. All right?
Well, see, O&M on existing buildings is a far different thing. You know, operations and maintenance on existing buildings is a far different thing than the pork that is thrown in here for unbelievable purposes that don't come anywhere close to making constitutional
muster.
Yeah,
so listen to this one. The U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, $61.4 million. The National Endowment for the Arts, $167.5 million. Between all this, we're at $200 million already.
Now,
the
people
Smithsonian
are going to say, oh, it's
got a billion.
Yeah, well, let's see, a billion's only one thousandth of a trillion. What are you worried about, man?
Well, I look at this and I say this. At some point, we'll have such a debt crisis that alone will be a national security issue that will take this country down one day.
Well, part of the problem is that look who owns our national debt. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty broad-based thing, but it's a lot of it is foreign-owned. And I go into communities now, well, not just U.S. communities, but I hear about them around the country from people that travel internationally. I know people that are international a lot in different situations. China basically owns the world. And what they, I mean, you know, you say, well, wait a minute. What does it matter if they own, you know, Africa? Well, they got all the strategic minerals there. But if they own West Yellowstone, Montana, that's another issue. I mean, the Chinese, we have poured bazillions of dollars, a technical term, into that country, and now they're buying it out from underneath us. And with huge debts like this, and if they buy our debt, suddenly they have some kind of leverage on us. It's just a strange kind of thing that we're allowing to devour our nation and debt. I wish there were time. I mean, most of your listeners probably know that I have a little book out, a little 526-page pamphlet, and in it we talk about debt. And the fact of the matter is that the Founding Fathers spoke so eloquently and powerfully. You said it's a national security issue. It absolutely was and has been in the American Founding Fathers' view right from the very beginning. Debt will destroy a nation, and we don't even seem to even think about it anymore.
Listen to this, billions of dollars in tax breaks for alcohol.
Well, I guess that's probably an important thing, isn't it? What the heck? What are we thinking about, you know? We really have the wheels have fallen off.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm submitting to you that everybody who voted for this bill, including the president, should be arrested. And you could say, well, Sam, that's way too harsh. And my response is, how do you know what you've agreed to by law? I know it's the color of law because the supreme law of the land is more important or, supersedes it. But you know what? What have they done? Nobody even knows.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Nashville, Tennessee authorities said Sunday they believe Anthony Warner was responsible for the Christmas Day explosion that rocked downtown Nashville and that the 63-year-old died in the blast. The VIN number of the RV was traced to Warner. Governor Bill Lee said at least 41 buildings were damaged. President Trump Sunday night signed the COVID relief government spending plan that averts a government shutdown Monday night. The president's signature means the government is now funded through September 30th, 2021. The stimulus checks are still set at $600 for most Americans, but the House is working on a bill to provide for $2,000 payment checks. The bill will be on the Senate floor late Monday. The suspected Russian hackers behind the worst U.S. cyber attack in years leveraged reseller access to Microsoft's 365 cloud services to penetrate their targets in the federal government. Many Microsoft software licenses are sold through third parties, and those companies can have complete access to client systems, USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic, and believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway, but as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Let's get a stimulus update.
With the president signing the COVID relief bill on Sunday night, focus in Congress now turns to his request for another $1,400 in stimulus payments to Americans. The House is set to vote Monday on a bill to provide the additional payments, but Congressman Tom Reed says getting the necessary votes in the Senate will be difficult. The New York Republican tells CNN that it will take a lot of work to convince enough senators to support the bill.
And it's going to be difficult, to be perfectly honest with you, to get that increased $1,400. We're talking, you know, that's approximately, if I did the math back, correct, that's about another $350 to $400 billion of additional money that needs to be found somewhere. That's going to have to be accounted for. And so I'm glad that this bill got signed. I'll do my part, as I indicated to the president, that I would support his request for $1,400 additional stimulus. And as Josh said, he and I both agree on that additional relief. But, you know, getting 218 and 60 takes a lot of work.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
All right, even Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson slams the $600 stimulus checks, writes Marie Finn. So this is serious, and I say that this is a one thing is spending. And eventually, you know what, if your debt continues to go up, you will eventually destroy the very country that we love. But in addition to the spending, though, this idea that we're going to give everybody money. Okay, I get at some degree if government shuts everything down. You know, Dr. Bradley, it reminds me of a given state. If the federal government wants land within a state, the federal government needs to look at the list and reasons why they can have land in the first place. And if there's a justifiable reason, then the federal government can go to the state and they can negotiate which land, and with the permission and authority of the state, they can purchase land at fair value. And so there's equity for equity, if you will. And when the government shuts everybody down by force to some degree, it's hard for me to say they shouldn't be required to give equity. At the same time, what we've done is turned ourselves into a socialist nation. We've already been giving handouts big time, but this puts it on steroids, which I'm afraid we'll never return from, sir.
You know, it's interesting to me. Rand Paul gave a masterful review of this on the floor of the Senate. If you haven't seen it, people need to go review that. And he speaks out. You know what? If it's no problem to just print more money and give it out, why don't we just give everybody $10 million or whatever? You know, I mean, and when I was 5 years old, I understood that. I understood the concept of what kind of disaster we were creating. You know, if everybody got $10 million. Suddenly a loaf of bread is $5 million. I mean, the value of the money gets diminished so dramatically, and that's really what's happened. We've lost probably 98% of the purchasing power of our dollar since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913 because of this monetary disaster we've got. Nowhere does the Constitution allow the redistribution of wealth, the handing out of money. It is simply not in the program. Now, the people will say, oh, well, in 1936, the Butler case with the Supreme Court said that you could basically interpret the welfare clause to be anything you wanted that had to do with spending any kind of money you wanted, and so suddenly we're in this death spiral. But the American Founding Fathers defined welfare far differently than we do today. Welfare then had to do with predictability and stability. It had to do with good government. So the general welfare clause in the preamble, as well as in Article 1, Section 8, what it talks about is to promote the general welfare. And that was going to provide a government that was stable, that was predictable. You could start a family, you could start a farm, you could start a business. You knew that the things of the government were not going to interfere. You weren't going to have domestic violence because of injustice. You weren't going to have foreign invasion. You weren't going to have an economic collapse, because the Founding Fathers had seen what happened when you printed money. It just willy-nilly, and it just destroyed the purchasing power of everything that was out there. And people just, it was a disaster for everybody. And the economy would die. That was what the general welfare was, and it has nothing to do with redistributing wealth. That's a socialist program. Now, Americans today don't know that it's not the Constitution, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. That's Marxist. That is Marx. That's one of his classic lines. But the fact of the matter is, we have everybody, well, except for probably five or six, well, there's probably two dozen anyway, somewhere at the general government level, and almost nobody out in the states, by the way, that really understands this. But here's the deal. The states are going to continue their onerous burdens on the people because they have just had their infusion of extra cash to be able to continue tracking and tracing and vaccinations, and they're getting the coffers have been opened to pour more money on their bodies, because the federal money has been what has perpetuated the onerous burdens that the states are putting on their people, because as long as they have a state of emergency, they keep getting federal funds, and they say to the people, you got to wear masks, you got to shut your...
Yeah, and the point is, this could never happen without fiat money, because they wouldn't have enough honest money to make this happen. That's why the Founding Fathers wanted to chain down bureaucrats with the Constitution, divide power and check and recheck and cross-check and examine and balance and make sure, and when they basically grease the wheels with fake money, all bets are off. How hard can you check someone when they've got unlimited cash at their disposal? And so what we've really done is launched ourselves into a no-return scenario.
Here's the deal. 4 years ago at this time, our admitted national debt was, if for round figures, we'll call it $20 trillion. It was just barely under that, $20 trillion. Today, it's over $27.5 trillion. So in 4 years, we have gone up $7.5 trillion in debt. At no time in the U.S. history, in the toughest of times, has anybody ever come close to anything like that. On average, that's like $1.88 trillion per year we've incurred in additional admitted debt. Now, that's over $83,000 per man, woman, and child in this nation for the total debt. That's over $220,000 per taxpayer. We have buried this nation in debt, and the last 4 years has been a horrific addition to that. And nobody even talks about that anymore. It's like, you know, oh, well, let's raise the national debt ceiling. They have some debate, discussion about it. They don't even discuss it anymore. It used to be they discussed it before they did it. These clowns, these buffoons that we have elected into office, they take an oath of office to uphold the United States Constitution. Probably most of them have never read it. I mean, I guess I have to say, if you'd read it, you'd at least have some comprehension of it. But certainly they haven't ever checked and examined how that Constitution fits with what they're doing. They're spending money Number one, we don't have. You get about $3.5 trillion a year that come in our total revenue source for the whole nation. That's every source that they claim they've got. And most of them are unconstitutional, by the way, now. But the fact is $3.5 trillion, let's just say. And if you come up and on a normal year now, you're spending about $4.5 trillion. So there's $1 trillion you just threw on the debt. But there's nobody even looking at the books anymore. And it's said sometimes that they say spend money like a drunken sailor, but that's not even true, because a drunken sailor is usually spending their own money. And so these people aren't spending their own money.
And a drunken sailor has some kind of a debt ceiling.
Sure, they're going to end up in the gutter someplace penniless. But the fact of the matter is, we're selling our souls, and the national debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And our spending is any measurement of it, it's off the chart from anything we've ever been close to before. And this latest thing is a fiasco at every single level.
Who's going to call a halt the con game and when?
Well, that's the problem. We don't have anybody. Oh, and I say that a little loosely, but there may be 2 dozen people somewhere that would call a halt to the con game, but they're very, very few.
Somebody will. Either inflation will get us to where it'll just run off the rails, or the Chinese will call in the cards. I mean, I don't know where, who, what, how. Something will eventually trigger a no-return scenario, right?
Well, this is probably or perhaps part of this great reset that people talk about, where we're going to do a whole global reset on our economy, and it'll be based on a global government and a new Bretton Woods kind of thing where they'll basically destroy everything that we understand financially and say, now we're rewriting the way it is, and this is our new monetary system. And you look at how screwed up that becomes in a very short order. You know, they did this in a smaller scale with the European Union and the money system that they created for them. And that thing has been debauched and devalued and become an inflationary monster also. Everything they touch, when it comes to fake, you can only fake it so long. And that's what fiat money is. It's a fake money. And like I say in my book, I've got a little chapter on economics and freedom and what real money is. And the founding fathers clearly understood that. And they pled with us not to go down the path we have. But, Congress has the responsibility to take the bull by the horns on this thing, and they keep, shuffling it off. Well, I was for it before, I was against it, then I was for it, that kind of nonsense. This happens at every level. And you look at what they've done financially, and we wring our hands and we say the Federal Reserve will help us. Well, it's a consortium of private bankers. These guys are for profit. They're doing it for their own good. They're doing this they loan us the money at interest. And so they create the money it used to be an entry on a column by pencil, probably. Now it's a computer click, 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 and it's an entry there. They create the money out of thin air, so there's no value in it to begin with. And then they loan it to us at interest so our grandchildren can owe it. It is absolutely an absurd situation. It's fake to the core.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, we're talking about the global reset. We're talking about Operation Jubilee. When will it be? And who will call a halt to the con game? Are my questions, Dr. Bradley. We know this can't go on forever, right?
Well, I think that's what they're counting on. They're going to count on the fact that, somebody's finally going to say, whoa, wait, we can't keep doing this. And somebody will step out of the closet or out of the, up from behind the curtain, Well, we've got the solution. The problem is that their solution has been something they've been working towards for a long time. I mean, these globalists have been really working, burning the midnight oil, if you will, seeking to bring about a global government that is socialist in nature, that would destroy the United States Constitution. The fact of the matter is, though, that we have the formula, the secret formula, if you will, because it's been there in plain sight. Nobody ever reads it, though. It's called the United States Constitution. It has limits and bounds and checks and balances and delegation of authority, and all of these things are already in place, and they worked magnificently until these globalists like Woodrow Wilson and his buddy Edward Mandel House and Mariner Eccles, and but they put the Keynesian economics in, and FDR, and I mean, you can make a list of the criminals as well as I can. But the fact of the matter is that every single person that goes into office takes an oath to uphold the United States Constitution. And nobody does. There are a few that kind of do, but I tell people all the time, they say, oh, my senators are 75% are on the Constitution. That's pretty darn good, they say. And I say, wait. They're unfaithful a quarter of the time. And in a marriage, if you're unfaithful a quarter of the time, that means you're unfaithful once for a whole week of a month, and that's not going to fly. But this is the kind of fidelity that we need to start encouraging the people to understand that they cannot be unfaithful to the Constitution, and we retain this nation. A 99.9999% faithfulness in a marriage is still unacceptable. And here we
have... Without a doubt, ladies and gentlemen, but don't worry. Deep State Rudy Giuliani speaking out over the Christmas holiday. Here's what he says. Giuliani, election fraud, evidence is going to blow up after Christmas. It's going to become clear all at once. It's going to be shocking to the American people. The president's attorney claimed on his podcast on Christmas Day. Do you believe him?
Well, I believe that election fraud has been rampant, and it has been for decades, even generations, but I believe it reached new heights this time around. I would like to see something carried forth to just shake it to the very core. I saw Giuliani's statement, and it was very incisive. I mean, he took about 15 minutes to basically challenge the governors and the states to say, look, let us examine. We'll come to your state. We'll come and examine your voting machines. It won't take but a little while to examine and see. See, a voting machine really is an adding machine, and he did this analogy on this statement. It just adds. It doesn't have to subtract. It doesn't have to divide or multiply. It doesn't have to do an algorithm of any kind of, trigonometry or anything like that. It doesn't do anything. It just adds. And if it's set up to do anything but that, then there's a problem.
Yeah, but we already know. We already have voting machines. We've already had them analyzed. We've already confirmed that they cheat and that they steal and that they manipulate votes. They have votes scanned in that they can't decide, so they can't add. So they put them in a folder in a bucket to send them to adjudicators who review them later. And, you know, bottom line is these machines are all connected to the internet, and they've literally destroyed all the paper trails, and a recount will never be accurate. You can never really recount or certify elections, and they know it all, and they're never going to admit it. But do you think Deep State Giuliani is going to get to the bottom of it? So while Deep State Giuliani is saying election fraud evidence is going to blow up after the holidays, I mean, I appreciate that, and I wish it would, but they've been talking about the Kraken, and that it's going to blow up, and they're going to make it, but they haven't delivered on the goods. Now here's the latest from Michigan. Will Michigan take legal action against Sidney Powell and other lawyers contesting the election? So now, not only do we have Dominion suing, we now have states suing the very people bringing forward the allegations because they claim there's no evidence. And so, you know, we got a battle on their hands. In fact, Maxine Waters now boldly stating, if President Trump doesn't leave the White House, that he should be marched out, possibly by the military or the Secret Service. These people are ready to step it up, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, I believe this has kind of always been, I mean, you know, this exact outcome has not maybe been, you know, the only outcome they've had in mind, but I think that this is the way the Marxists have always done it. They're basically a conflict-based situation. That's how they, you know, the Bolsheviks, well, let's take it back to the French Revolution. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, the Illuminati created an untenable situation that people got so sick of it. They said, please save us from ourselves. Napoleon stepped out behind the curtain and said, I can do it, but you've got to give me absolute power. And the tyranny of Napoleon occurred after that, and they killed a whole generation of young men in Europe as they tromped back and forth across Europe in war. But that's how this is how liberty is lost, is through this conflict-based kind of thing. And that's what Marx wrote about. And that's how the Bolsheviks carried it out. That's how it was done by Pol Pot. That's how it was done by Mao Zedong. I mean, these big revolutionary things happen based upon conflict. And I don't think they really care how they get the conflict. Maxine Waters is a primary example of someone that just wants to pull the system down, it seems to me. And the real solution is restoring the foundation that we were given. And everybody goes back and, you know, their oath of office. And like you say, I wish there was several hundred impeachments a year until we finally got their attention that we really mean it. This is what it really is. Nobody can be unfaithful to that oath and continue to hold office. But American people, if we're fools, we elect fools. And that's basically what we've done, it seems like.
Until the American people demand otherwise, that's the problem we're going to have. And I'll give you a quick example to make the point. I don't think we ought to trust 9 justices to decide if we have election fraud up at the Supreme Court. What I think we need to do is go to every single precinct in this country. So you got 3,000 counties in the country. I don't know how many precincts, but it's on a smaller level than that. And a precinct on the average has about 800 people in it, Dr. Bradley. And I think what we need to do is go to our local precincts and demand they show us the proof. Recount the vote publicly, certify it under penalty of perjury, and then confirm what the government claims at the state or the federal or whatever level you want to determine along the way that they have the same number you have. And if you can't certify your elections because you've destroyed the custody of the ballot, then people need to go to prison. On the other hand, if you can confirm your number, great. Certify it under penalty of perjury and beyond. And then let's have them compare the number. And if the number doesn't match, we just simply say we demand the number be changed. And if enough Americans demanded this at the precinct level, we don't need the Supreme Court. We don't need the state courts. We can simply challenge it in our own precincts if we just would. No one's talking about this but me, Doctor.
Well, you know, you've got a very interesting approach to that, and we should be able to do that. If we had the old vintage classic paper ballots, we could actually.
But if we
do
don't
that,
and they can't prove it to me, then we simply say you've broken you've broken the custody of the ballots. Therefore, your certification is null and void. we either need to vote again or, you know, what do you want to do here? But we're not going to allow you to certify this vote. In fact, if you do, we're going to throw you in jail for fraud. Okay? Well, this could happen on a local precinct level. And if you had, how many precincts are in America? I don't even know. But how many ever there are, if you had that going on at every precinct being challenged, they wouldn't be able to stop the people, Doctor.
Well, that's true, but we need to recognize the Constitution. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 says that each state has the power to appoint their electors. Each state should have the responsibility. That's part of the division of authority that we've got in this separation of powers. Each state should be able to fulfill that, and if they can't certify it, as you say, under the oath of perjury, they should be decertified. Now, there's another level that it can be done. It can be done as they open the ballots, if you will, on the 6th of January in the joint session of House and Senate, and there's a challenge that can be made. And they need to, if a challenge made by a senator and a congressman, they recess. No, they don't recess, but they break into both different houses, and they debate and discuss, and they come back. Now, if the things are demonstrably improper, then at that point, then the House would then take responsibility. I'm truncating this a little bit for time. The House would then take the responsibility to vote on a one state, one vote basis for the president, and the Senate would select the vice president. And there are many levels of you know, way to solve this. And this certification program, if there's that big a question about it, there should be a great majority of senators and members of the House that are saying, wait, there's just too much a
question.
Again,
the government that governs closest to the people governs best, and where we have the greatest strength in our numbers and where we have the greatest ability is at the precinct level. That's where you vote, right?
It is indeed.
Then that's where accountability should happen.
It really should. But, you know, we've thrown that away, and again, this fake pandemic thing that has happened that scared us into going into a voting system that would absolutely be polluted. The way we've done the ballots mail in and the idea that you can bring them in by the truckload if it's not coming out with the election that you want. We polluted everything with this, and we're doing it electronically. We're destroying the paper trail. This has been a long time planned Marxist approach to destroy everything in America. And I really do think everything should be decertified, and if we had any backbone in our senator and Congress now on the 6th of January, they'd say, okay, we're taking the bull by the horns, and this can't be allowed to happen, and we'll continue to discover where the fraud, where the system broke, and we're not going to let it happen again, but this one we're going to fix, and they're going to fix it. I mean, they should fix it.
Yes, but I say we need to demand accountability at the precinct level. And the reason I say that is that's where we vote. And you can say, well, the state eventually decides, and they're the ones that certify. I know. But we can also push our states very hard at the precinct level. And if you can't solve it at that level, you'll never solve it, because that's where you vote. That's the on-the-ground choice where you vote. And if you can't solve it there, you'll never solve it.
See, here's the problem. I look at my own county, for example. We're supposed to be the reddest of the red counties. Oh, yeah, right. But we are neck deep in being complicit on this whole thing with the way our county has embraced wholeheartedly the fraud of these election voting machines. And our county, I believe, is at fault with this. Now you say, oh, well, no, they voted for Trump in your county. Well, they did. But the fact of the matter is, this is across the whole nation. We have county officers that are violating the sacred responsibility they have to keep our oath from being polluted, our vote from being polluted. And they've done that. And in my county, I look at my county, I wouldn't trust those people to do the right thing. I mean, they may say,
I'm a good and honorable person. If you ignore the precinct level, then I got an idea for you. Get rid of the precincts, because they have no value. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating to get rid of them. I'm making a point. If they're of no value, get rid of them. If the states can't decide, get rid of them. I joke to drive home a point. Look, folks, the checks and balances are there for a reason. We have precincts for a reason. Hour one in the can, two coming up. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website, and we declare this nation shall endure.